Let me hold you guys' feet to the fire. Let's build some decks together and just let
right.
people, let's all kind of just kind of brainstorm. Let's decide, a theme or what we want to do, and then let's start building. And I think that if we just kind of talk through the building of two decks, that would be absolutely invaluable for new players, just to kind
All
of
right.
hear the thought process
Good.
and what
Let's
that
start
means.
with one clan and one inner sphere. I think
Yeah,
that's
let's do
fair.
Battle of Luthians. Perfect.
Is
So
Smoke
Smoke
Jaguar going to
Dragon
hold up? That's
Karina.
not a very is I
It's
wasn't Smoke
better than you
Jag, not
might
a,
think.
okay.
At a casual level, especially, it's not bad.
All
There's
right,
not
can
a
we?
lot of creativity, but I mean, it's a fine mix.
Well, I definitely want to make sure that we can build two balanced decks because we also want to build that. I want to build two decks that are thematic, that are fun, but are also going to balance so that people can really enjoy kind of a little scenario. I think that'd be awesome. Or maybe
Well,
like a Ronin Wars, deck. We get a Kurita, versus.
So I think the Smoke Jag deck has got to start with an asset base of AMT. It'll make card selection easier, and we all know that the Smoke Jags suck at logistics anyway. They didn't bring any logistics to their fights.
Too good. Oh boy.
I think I do have an ATL Smoke Jag right deck, but yeah, ATM is probably a lot easier deck, both to make with real cards and
Oh,
just
we
to.
lost you. Yeah.
I lost the end of Peter there. I think it depends what you want to do with the Smoke Jaguars, because if you allow the Smoke Jaguars to have the 10 elemental points, I want L. I
Yeah,
want L
well,
as
for
one of my
sure.
resources,
Paul
because if
Moon
you
is
have
very good.
exactly that's where I'm at. I'm at because I would like I have a Smoke Jaguar deck that plays logistics because I want to play Paul Moon and I want my elemental points.
Sure. I guess that makes sense, but if we're trying to bias towards relatively easy to physically construct, I think we should try to not work with Arsenal or Crusade, which means no elemental points.
Fair enough.
Let's
Yeah.
okay.
I think
So if you, all right,
some of their
so.
later Grendels are in there, but other than that, I think because the AT, what is it, Grendel D is like six assembly tactics, is pretty good, but I think that's also Arsenal. But I think we can do AMT.
If we pull it back and we say, okay, well, I mean, is it reasonable to do a thematic deck? Maybe use a different thematic deck and use the cards more in the, let's say, everything before Arsenal.
I think you'd do perfectly fine with a Smoke Jag Battle of Luthien deck before
Awesome.
Arsenal.
All right, let's do it. All right. So
And here's
what
me
are
pulling out Mordell's deck builder.
Yeah, I'm
All
gonna
right.
pull up Lackey.
Okay, I was just gonna
Yeah.
write it. I'll write
Well, I gotta
it.
make sure I'm not
I'll be the note
suggesting anything
taker.
from a later set. Yeah.
Well, let's abandon that. Let's like, well, we can include things from all set, and then maybe we can put a little side note of put this in instead of that when we're done with it. We can look at what we build, and then we can.
All right. So I guess we start with mix, right?
Are we settled on resource, or are we in a?
Resources serve the mix.
I agree. It's AMT.
Yeah.
It's AMT.
Yeah,
Okay.
AMT.
It's AMT. So your resource base, you're looking at 24 resources.
Yep.
And then you're looking at, depending on the buyouts of your mechs, how many of each one of those, of course, with the black market connections and the four war funds, because we're going to be playing with Arsenal. We want a consistent deck. I want my black market connections from Crusade, and I want six war funds in there.
Let's also set ourselves the limit of four, maximum of four of any card, because people, especially with limited card sets, are going to struggle to get to six, even
Okay.
if some commons.
Do we even want to say four? Is it just variety seems fun. If we
We could do
say
three.
two or
Two is
three.
probably a little too little. I
Okay.
imagine that
Oh,
that's
Gustav's
it.
cringing
It's yeah.
there.
You're not
Yes.
going to have the consistent. You're losing a lot of consistency if we go down to two of
Well,
them. We
that's
might
what I'm
as well
saying.
play
Is
Highlander. Let's
if
just play
both
a
of
Highlander. Build a Highlander deck.
if both
It'll
of
be
them
fun.
Did Jags even make a Highlander deck in
if
AMT?
we keep the
It'd be
principle for
tough
both
without Arsenal.
decks, yeah, if we keep the
Yeah.
principle for
All
both decks, then hopefully
right.
it'll
All right.
hold.
So
Twenty-four unique units.
why don't we start with our backline? I would say that a clan backline should probably be of moderate speed, and I would put up for bid the Vulture Sea and the Manowar Prime as being good backliners.
So five drop. You like the five drops?
Fours and fives.
The three armor, seven structure, four attack of the Manowar is one of my favorite mid-tier tier two mechs for clan. So I agree. Let's put those in. Those are easy to come by. Let's do that. So that's our. I like those for five for our five drop.
I don't suppose any of us here actually are familiar with enough with the lore to know what mechs are common in the Smoke Jaguar Tuman.
Koshi, Ryokan, Cauldronborn, Warhawk, Masakari. They later added the Shadowcat and the Grendel. What am I missing?
All right, so you can be our, you can be our backup and keeping us honest there, Peter.
All of the core, all of the core, most of the core Omnimex from 3050 can be found in reasonable quantities in all Tumans. So
Haku was the other one.
Right. So I would say a good opening bid would be four Man of War Primes and four Vulture Seas. There's nothing to argue about with any of these mechs. These are all good mechs at a moderate
These are staples.
Speed.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. Where do we want to go for fast?
I want all of the Dasher Primes.
Yeah, I figured you would.
As many as I can put in there.
All right. Four Dasher Primes for speed and harassment. And then,
that's
of course,
two costs with assembly buyout. They're fantastic.
And then assuming we're going to go with four Fenris Primes as well.
Yes, absolutely. That's an AMT.
So notice we've got to 16, with armor. 16 of our 24 mechs, and we haven't left the limited set at all.
And we're also, I think, all just commons and uncommons.
Yep, we're all commons. Actually, there aren't any uncommons so far. It's all common.
All common cards.
Perfect.
This is one of the reasons the clans are really solid in limited, because they had a lot of solid, easy to play common mechs. It's very easy to build a cheap, effective clan deck. Where should we go from there? We've got eight more mechs. We need somebody to finish the push. I think we need a few stalemate breakers.
We could do two of those. I was thinking too. So you've got 16 mechs with four attack. Oh no, eight mechs with four attack. Eight mechs with three attack. Right.
That's the magic number seven.
That's the magic number seven. So you have a lot of flexibility from here. You might want a fourth point of damage in the fast attack slot, or else a pair of twos. There's an argument that it's a cheaper three damage mech in the medium slot is also viable. And yeah, I might end it with a couple of big siege breakers like Nightjurs or Masakaris or something.
Okay. So like,
I like those three drop 173 with one long range. It fits our AMT.
Nova Revised, Nova C?
Is that a Nova C?
Nova C Revised is AMT 173, one long range.
One long range. Yep, I like that.
Wait. Nova?
Blackhawk C.
173, three for AMT.
It's almost a Fenris.
I'm not sold on that. You're losing.
It has jump. It has jump. I'm just telling you, jump. Jump is a hugely underrated thing when you're going to be running those risky combat jumps.
Right.
All right. So we're going down that road. What are we doing? We're doing two Blackhawk Cs. Is that what it was?
I think. I mean, yeah, because you can play around with it as a baseline. When I don't know about you guys, but when I'm building a deck, you know, I won't really settle on anything. I'll say, okay, this looks good on paper. And then you play it against yourself a few times and you say, okay, do these mechs actually gel well in practice? You know, can I reliably go turn three Blackhawk C, turn four Vulture C, turn five Man of War.
Yeah. Yep, you want to curve out.
And you know, if I do hit those curves, do I feel comfortable in attack and defense starts becoming the next thing. You know, consistency is great, but also am I flexible in the way I attack and defend? And I think with the Fenris Prime and the Blackhawk C, you have a pretty good three-drop slot because Fenris Prime is perfectly fine being used as a medium mech too. I mean, it's tough enough that you can mostly use it as a pseudo-medium to attack with as well.
It's worth noting that if you're playing with the Counter-Strike version of the Blackhawk C, you've got a bit of a problem because it doesn't have jump.
It doesn't have jump. It's the revised that has it.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So we upgrade if you can.
Right.
Just saying.
Do we want a couple of hard-hitting, expensive fast mechs? I was thinking like the Grendels. Grendel Prime. Two Grendel Primes, maybe?
I'd be okay with that. They hit a flat seven, don't they? With
they the have five over E2 plus two, yeah.
Yeah, I like the seven on one body. That's good. In fact, okay. I prefer having them over a Masakari, honestly, because then you have the ability to hunt down.
True.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
we need four more. We've got two Blackhawk Seas and two Grendel Primes. I still think we should have something super heavy in the back line.
Let's just throw one BMF in for fun. Stone Rhino.
One?
Stone Rhino for fun. Siegebreaker.
It's Costell, doesn't it? It's
like shucks.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite assaults. It's so well accosted, but yeah, it costs ALM, which is almost unplayable.
Right. Yeah, it's unplayable unless, you're done.
Massacari A is a very good cheap budget assault. It doesn't have the long range, which I really like to see, and it doesn't have jump. Massacari A is good for budget, and I think it's unlimited.
And what about the Supernova? What about the Supernova? 10-4A-4AM4T, 397. Overheat 5 plus 3 attack. It has jump and it has long range too.
It's fair.
It's fair, yeah. You can play it.
All right, so maybe one Supernova and one Massacari A. And listen, if you're listening at home, try them both out and see which one you like and get a second one, whichever one you like.
They're both commons, aren't they?
They're both commons. We haven't hit an uncommon. No, the Black Hawk C is an uncommon.
Yeah,
and but that's the only common.
I suggested it,
which still leaves us with two slots.
Two mechs.
A couple of 4-damage fast mechs.
Fenris. No, that's a wolf.
Koshi B.
B. All right.
Maybe let me see. That puts how many? 6 mechs in the 4-drop slot. That might be too many.
Yeah. What about something a little cheaper? What about Uller Primes? 2 Uller Primes.
You can run it. It actually can be pretty good if you get that and a dash of Prime out. If they have a slow
that's
start.
That's a 7. Yeah. That's a good one. It's got an A and an M buyout.
Yeah. Which we're fine
I just
with.
Like the 4-damage fast mix because it goes so well with the dash of Primes. But Ullers are very good as well.
All right. So that's our mix. We've got 4 dash of Primes, 4 Fenris Primes, and 2 Grendel Primes in the fasts.
Yeah, those drop slots. What are you guys talking about when you're talking about the drop slots for new players?
So you want a curve that has a huge front end. So you want your 2 slots, 2s and 3s, or you cannot miss. You will lose the game if you whiff on 2 and 3. You have to get mechs out. So you have a huge stack on your 2s, 3s, and then it peters off as you get up to 10.
Yeah. 2-3 for the cost. You're talking about the cost, assuming that you've got the buyout taken care of with your resources.
You should.
I usually describe it to new players like a pyramid. You know, your cheap mechs should be the big foundation and you have a lot of them. And then as you go up the curve, it gets smaller and smaller as you go. And so, you know, you top out with a few cheap mechs or a few very expensive mechs because, one, you only need one or two of them. 2, if you really need more, you can recur them with black market connections. So the deck will play like it has more anyway.
Right.
Got it.
Cool. So that's our 24 mix. Next up is, what are our 12 extras, cards that help you win? In a strong position. Are we in a strong position to play Risky Combat Jump? What jumps? We've got... We don't have a lot of jump. We've got Grendels.
We have Blackhawks, Grendels, and the Supernova. And that's
I would still run 2.
2?
It's that good. I would still run 2. It's that good.
Let's compromise on 1.
Fair enough. It's a surprise. And having that, the ability of that die roll is so huge with the damage reduction and the attack bonus.
Okay.
Do we have any Smoke Jaguar specific mechs, or is it all clan generic?
It's all clan generic. Smoke Jag specific stuff was poor.
The early stuff was garbage. Some of the later stuff was better. But
looking at you, Stone Rhino.
What are we even doing that makes this deck a Smoke Jaguar deck?
That's kind of what I was asking. There's not a lot in here, and really their better mechs came out later. You know, the other Grendels besides the Prime.
Crows. Yeah.
But that's the Prime. I mean, what apart from the Prime and the D for a missile deck, what have you got? The others aren't that good.
Grendel D was okay. The Nightjars, I think it's C, the 9 cost one is pretty decent. But this is all later sets. That's your biggest problem.
We can kind of say, you know, sprinkle this in for flavor if you have access to the later sets. Sure. Or if you're playing online.
This is like a generic clan deck you can make anything out of.
Yeah, and people can plug and play. They're like, I got this awesome mech from Crusade. I'm going to plug it in for a Manowar or something.
So what are we looking at for the 12 cards? So we picked up a Risky Combat Jump.
Overrun.
You want an overrun. You want forge mission orders.
So let's do two overruns and two forge mission orders. Will really keep your opponent guessing.
Pushing like some damage, superior navigation. Yeah, you're just going down the generic list of missions, I think.
This is a limited clan generic deck.
Yeah. I like damage prevention as well. Either move the heavy fog or some kind of damage prevention. Surprise.
Let's do
move to partial cover.
Taking the hit is surprisingly good.
Which ones are going to be, Jens?
Heavy which fog? Be...
Heavy fog.
Heavy fog is good.
How many? Two?
Heavy fog is defensive and offensive.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk, too. I don't know if any of you guys play. I mean, occasionally I'll play the Singleton mission strategy with a couple of studied moves. And if you have the jumpers, I mean, you have the surprise factor of the missions, but late game you get consistency of which one you pull because you have multiple missions from multiple initiatives. Studied move just pulls it back.
Well, we're actually starting to get to a point where we have too many missions. I did an analysis of this a while back and concluded that without additional card draw, you should have probably about... Okay, so you should have about six free deploy cards in your deck. If you do more than that, you will start losing optionality because you'll start getting low on your hand.
Well, why don't we just put Leo Showers in there?
Okay.
Where's that? The smoke?
There you go. It's become Elias Critchell and Leo Showers.
Well, I think he had met an aerospace fighter a little bit too close before the Battle of Luthien, I believe. Leo Showers had.
Yeah. What's even funnier is he's clan generic. He's still not a smoke jaguar.
Yeah. So my theory was that if you're gonna draw, you're gonna draw something like a third of your deck as cards, right? So if you have six free deploy cards in your deck, by the end of the game, you'll have drawn two or three of them and presumably played them, which will bring your total hand size at the end of the game to two or three cards. If you have more than six and you don't have card draw, then you're going to sort of play through your hand, which means you're sort of losing optionality because once you've played through your hand, you're always playing the two cards you draw and you don't have an opportunity to say, well, I want to leave this one for next round because this other one is good. So if you end the game...
This is why Black Market Connection is good.
Right, but Black Market Connections is... No, Black Market Connections is even worse because Black Market Connections will also further drain your hand. So
you get what you need.
Sure, but you still sort of fall behind, like you start not being able to make all the deployments that you have.
True.
So you start the game with five cards in your hand. And if you end the game with five cards in your hand, you're a schmuck because you could have gotten some of those cards down on the table and done something with them. But if you end the game with, if you reach a point where you have zero cards in your hand, you're sort of strategically constrained, right? So you want to play some cards that free deploy, but not too many.
Assuming you can't replace them, yeah.
Assuming you can't replace them. So I guess Leo Showers does help you replace them if you get him, but I wouldn't rely on it.
He's way too expensive anyway. I just like, well, he's a Smoke Jaguar Ilkhan. Let's throw him in there.
Well, you could play a couple of Backings of the Grand Council. But then, you can't play Backing of the Grand Council because we're not using Crusade.
No. We'll put it in an option. That'll be your sideboard. Right.
So
I mean, Singleton assets are actually pretty viable in a War Funds environment. But
or Think Tank. You could do Think Tank. You could put like two Think Tanks, and if you draw Leo, or three Think Tanks, you draw Leo, you use him. But anyway, if we've got like seven missions so far, two overruns, two forge mission orders, two heavy fogs, and a risky combat jump. So we should probably select five more cards that do actually take deployments.
You know, it's really tough with clans, especially in the early sets. I mean, there just aren't a lot of quality commands to put in. Without like Inner Spirit, you could get away with it a little bit because the free deploy would cover it. But it's very tough with clans. You can try
Arrow
a couple
4.
Of terrains. Arrow 4 is a good option. I don't know that clan needs it, but it's a good option.
I like it just because sometimes you only have six on the board at fast. Yeah. And that one damage of structure to a site. And you can always peg for one off the top of the deck.
No. All right.
It's never a bad choice.
All right. So two Arrow 4 batteries. Leaves us with three more cards.
Is Era 4 a clan-like
it's a activity?
Like
no, it's a command card.
Clan use artillery?
It's the last thing Smoke Jaguar would ever do.
Ever. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I think we're breaking rules there.
I guess we should put Orbital Bombardment in there and just be done with it.
Yeah, there you go.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What about the regular old elemental point?
It's so bad.
Is it because it doesn't offer? Is it that bad?
It's a deployment, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. It is a deployment. It counts as a deployment.
Yeah.
It's two damage. Yeah.
All right.
So play Elmon's deploy, errata it, so it's a free deploy. Problem solved.
No. You could put Paul Moon in there.
We're not using Arsenal tactics. Later.
Oh, yeah, we can't use. It's getting tough here. Like I said, the reason you see so many 10-plus mission clan decks is there's just not a lot of quality in the command section.
Are we using Arsenal?
No.
We're not, and we're not using logistics either, which means we can't call on hidden reserves to replenish our hand of missions.
Because then you got hidden reserves and you got Trial of Bloodright.
Well, we don't have any pilots here either.
Or not Trial of Bloodlight. What's the one I'm thinking about? Trial of Grievance. Trial of Grievance was draw a card and give me all my resources. Solves many problems.
What about...
It'd actually be pretty good in this deck, too.
It would be. AMT with Trial of Grievance seems like a perfect solution.
Right. What were you saying, Michael?
What about Assault on the Rear Echelon? 2-4-T... Scrap when revealed. For the rest of the turn, each patrolling unit that blocks is depleted. An interesting stalemate breaker.
Possibly. And is Smoke Jaguar going to come to the rear? Or are they just going to come to your face and say, we're going to underbid you and then we're going to lose to you?
Exactly. You're making my life really difficult here.
So, I mean,
and then after we lose, we're going to get really mad and we're going to orbitally bombard you because we messed up earlier on.
Yeah. I think a couple of think tanks and orbital bombardment, and you've got your Smoke Jaguar.
That's orbital a deck that screams for hidden reserves, though.
Yeah.
Because it scraps cards from hand, so...
Yeah, I think we have to have hidden reserves. I think we have to have hidden reserves.
Well, we can play no arsenal, but we'd need...
We just have think tanks. We'll just play two or three think tanks in the deck, and we'll hopefully get...
Well, remember, we're not doing war funds either.
Oh,
we're not?
You're making my life really hard.
Arsenal. All right.
We've talked about so many cards. People can substitute if they don't have the cards. We've given them so many options here.
Let's throw in three hidden locations. Two hidden locations and a Leo Showers and an Orbital Bombardment. That brings us to 37 cards. You should probably drop a mission.
I don't know. I'm going to be the guy that says this is hidden location a clan-like tactic.
Wrong word. Hidden reserves, not hidden location.
Hidden reserves, yeah.
My mistake.
I mean, if we're open up politics, you can almost do veteran officer too, but only it pulls missions. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Let's keep it simple. Hidden reserves. Two hidden reserves. So we're still at 37. We probably want to be at 36.
We do want to be at 36 because I want to make sure we play enough think tanks.
Two heavy fog, two overrun, two forged mission orders, and a risky combat jump.
Lose my risky combat jump. We don't have enough mechs with jump to make it.
Say, if you're going to include that, you probably should run Shadowcat Prime over Vulture C.
All right. We're good. So we've got 36 cards. Now we need 24 resources. So we're going to need some
things. Review that one for me real quick. All right, let's review all our non-mech cards.
Non-mech cards. Two overruns, two heavy fogs, and two forged mission orders are a very nice, simple set of missions, most from limited. One of those is from Counter-Strike. Right.
And those are common, too.
Heavy Fog is uncommon, but still.
Oh,
Leo Showers and Orbital Bombardment are our two politics rares. And then we've got two hidden reserves and two Arrow 4 batteries.
Or where we were taking Arrow 4 out, right? That was not Smoke Jaguar.
Are we?
Smoke Jaguar is not going to use Arrow 4.
You're the correct us, thing Brad.
To do. Okay, so go back up to a seventh mission and a third hidden reserves then.
Sounds good. So third hidden reserves, and we'll put the risky combat jump back.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to run risky, I mean, do you want Shadowcat Prime over Vulture C?
Shadowcat Prime.
What set did it come out in?
For all four of them?
Yeah, I mean, because it has jump. Yeah. It has jump.
Okay, let's and do that.
It's lighter on the assets, although what it's set munitions. Is it? Oh, that's what I'm asking. I don't know what set it's from. Is it Mech Warrior? Or is it straight up Commander's
it's Edition? Shadowcat A and B are Arsenal.
Yeah, but well, I was thinking Prime. A and B, I don't know about.
If people have access to those, they can do a Shadowcat Prime plus Risk of Combat, and if they don't have Shadowcat Prime, they can do Vulture C.
Never mind. Shadowcat Prime was Crusade. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. All right. So then a seventh mission, let's just make it a studied move. No, we don't even have that much jump, so that's not going to be great.
Nope.
What would you throw in there? Just a single good shooting, maybe?
You need a good surprise. If you're going to run a singleton, I usually run a big surprise mission. Taking the hit is a good singleton. Reactor breach.
I like heroic breach.
Heroic sacrifice would be a good final mission for them.
Did we decide we are not running this rare intensive because
you can throw
I am a huge fan of superior navigation. In
all right,
two.
One superior navigation.
Okay.
Just a huge fan.
Oh yeah. All right.
Well, people know if they can run superior nav if they have it. Otherwise, heroic sacrifice.
Or just any old mission card that you think looks interesting and you want to see how it plays.
There you go.
Perfect. All right. So now 24 resources. So what? Four think tanks? Three? We've got a lot of L in here now.
Yep. Four think tanks.
Yeah. L gets much trickier. Four resources gets much trickier without war funds.
Yeah. Well, but P is only two cards. It's only going to come up very rarely.
Wait, we have P and L and AMT. We have five assets.
Yeah, we got. Yes.
This is why Smoke Jaguar lost. Honestly, right. They had no logistics, and their politics were a huge mess.
It's right.
I think you need to backtrack there. I think Leo and either the hidden reserves or else Leo and the orbital bombardment. Probably.
All right, let's drop Leo and the orbital bombardment, and let's make it. It's literally a generic clan deck. What are we going to put instead? Put the Arrow 4s back in?
Well, if we're trying to do Smoke Jags, let me think.
But there's nothing Smoke Jag here. Like, literally nothing.
There's not a single Smoke Jaguar card in there.
No.
All right, let's keep Leo. Let's say go buy some war funds on eBay if you don't have them. Definitely get some think tanks, and you have.
Oh, if we're gonna allow some of the cheaper arsenal resources, we've got weapons depot as well.
And backing of the Grand Council.
No, that's right. Yes, we do.
That's what
we
say.
All right, so we're just gonna throw a smattering of these things in here. So then we don't need as many think tanks. Let's make it like two think tanks, two weapons depots, two backings of the Grand Council.
Yeah, I feel better about that already. I'm willing to pay one for a resource that gives me two
assets, yeah. Actually, okay. I mean, if we're opening that up, you know, your trial of grievance idea is sounding better and better every time. We have every asset in there.
I do, and then you just, boom, you play four trial of grievances, and you automatically get the resource you need, and it replaces itself for when you need to have the buyout for that card.
All right, so what are you gonna dump? To get four trials of grievance, you're probably going to dump a mission, two mechs, a mission, a mech, and a resource for three, maybe.
I'd play four if we're going to do it. We have A, M, P, T, and L.
So what are you going to dump? What's the fourth thing you're going to dump?
I'd take out one of the hidden reserves if I'm playing four trial of grievances.
All right, so one hidden reserve's gone. One, we'll take out the superior nav. And we'll take out a mech. Pick a mech.
Take out one of the 10 drops. I'm not going to miss that as much.
All right. I'll take out the supernova. And then we've got four trial of grievance. So now we're talking about 23 resources, 23 mechs, 10 other cards, and four trials of grievance.
That's fair.
Right. So what are our 23 resources with Trials of Grievance in there?
Do we still have war funds?
Do you still need it if you're using Trial of Grievance?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so let's shove in, what, two of them?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's very tough to say, here, this will be easy to collect and throw Trial of Grievance and war funds in there, five assets.
Well, Trial of Grievance is an arsenal common. It's not that bad.
Right.
And war funds is also an arsenal common. So let's just throw two war funds in, two black market connections. And then that leaves us 19 to play with for our actual AMT. Or do we want to shove in like a weapons depot or backing of the Grand Council? Because you can get in trouble if you have too many resources that cost more than one, maybe more than zero.
I would put one of each in.
I think so too, yeah.
One weapons depot. One back in the Grand Council. That leaves us with 17 resources. How would you split it?
Have you already accounted for the think tanks?
We took the think tanks out.
Okay. Think tanks are gone.
Probably 7-6-4.
Seven assembly?
You need it for the dashers. Your problem is you only have five munitions for the ullers, or six munitions for the ullers, and then you still got to pull the tactics. It's going to be tight either way, especially with only two war funds. But yeah, those trial grievances are going to have to come up big time.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've got a mulligan option if you don't have a trial grievance in your opening hand.
All right. So seven assembly, four munitions, and six tactics. All right. So let's talk through this one last time.
Six tactics.
Is that what you said? 7-6-4?
Yeah.
Yes. I think you need six munitions though.
Well, you've already got them from backing of the Grand Council and from Weapons Depot.
All right.
I mean, nobody's saying this is a great deck, right?
I don't think anyone is saying this is a great deck.
No, nope. Right. But this deck has how many rares in it? One. One
two.
Rare.
Orbital Bombardment and Leo Showers.
I'll give those away.
Yeah. All right.
Tell me your address and I'll mail it to you.
All right. So let's now we have to be a moderately bad companion deck for Kurita / Calhoun / Wolf Dragoon / Federated Commonwealth.
Right. Oh man, that's going to be hard because there's a lot of really good cards for Kurita and Wolf's Dragoons. That obviously why they won.
Yes. Yeah, but in the early sets,
we're playing fleas and Flashmans.
No. Oh. Oh boy. All right. So we're going to allow, it's going to be a Kurita deck. So I'm turning off all of my, going through my filters here. Cool. So mechs. 24 mechs. What are we doing?
We're using, our asset base. Let's look at our asset base. And I do want to include M because Kurita with M, is good.
Well. Although a lot of Kurita's best M cards are late.
They're late sets, yeah. They're that's not early true. Sets. Yeah,
that's true.
They're much more AM in the early. Like, you have the Jenners. They got a lot of mechless stuff, too. Like, the Hanamoto Shi and Grand Dragon are both assetless.
Yeah. I like the Mauler. That's an A. AM.
The Mauler? It's got a missile one. Didn't we just say that that's a kiss of death?
I know. And it's a rare, but I love the mech. And it was in that cartoon that you were watching, Peter, wasn't it?
As a side note, yes. You know, let me go off on a segment here. And I mean, because we started off, I got into Battletech because I had a couple of friends in like third or fourth grade, and they brought in some of the toys from the cartoon show. And I wanted to play too. And the first thing I saw was that Mauler. So the Mauler was the first mech I was ever attached to in Battletech. And yeah, it has
preach
a place
Peter.
In existence.
Put it in the deck.
There you go.
It's terrible.
But it's a horrible mech, but it's iconic. It's iconic.
It is very iconic.
All right, one Mauler. Fine. So are we going to go back to AMT again?
I like AMT.
All right, AMT. Cool. So what's our fast screen, first of all? Because we're got to think
what
about
are you Jenners. You got Jenners and spiders. We don't have Spider Revised, do we? We'd have to go with the originals. I think you have to have the two damage versions. But
do we want the Jenner that does the 1 point of overheat or the Jenner that does the 2 points of overheat?
I would do both and make them my only fast mechs.
I would play four of each.
Four Jenners and four Jenners. Okay, any other?
Yep.
Anything
eight fast
else?
Mechs.
You have to have some Panthers in your deck. You can't be Kurita without some Panthers.
They did not convert well, man.
They are bad.
We'll do Panthers, Dragons, Hatamotos, yeah.
Yeah. Grand Dragon, four cost, no buyout. Grand Dragon's not bad.
Yeah,
Grand
not Dragon's bad. Solid. Notice how, by the way, the Kurita deck is like all Kurita so far. Nothing generic yet.
I think it really just shows the difference, like, because the early clan cards, you had some really good stuff, and the rest was just overpriced beyond. And the Smoke Jags had a lot of problems with that in the early sets.
Remember, we can be bringing in Steiner and Davian mechs.
Let's not. Let's just stick with Kurita plus Mercenary.
Because the Kurita doesn't need to. That's the nice thing about Kurita. We can if you want.
They're very versatile, but you can just go pure Kurita all the way through.
If you want to show side cards like that, Travis, you know, I mean, we could look at something like trying to force in Wolf Dragoon's contract with Wolf Dragoon.
We'll definitely have to put in contract with Wolf Dragoon's. Yeah. It's AMT with a little tiny side of P. It's going to have to be. All right. I want to put in a plug for the Centurion D.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely fine. No problem. It's a backbone.
It's 162 cost mechs in the game.
Great alpha strat.
What else looks good? What's our backliners? The Gunslinger? Can we do the Gunslinger?
I like the Gunslinger and the Seabreeus.
I think we should stay on theme and do the Gunslinger. I think it works better because of it provides ECM. It's only one more expensive than the Cerberus.
No buyouts either. Cerberus has a logistics.
An L buyout. We can't do. If we're going to throw in a little bit of politics this time, I don't think we want logistics.
Nope, that's fair.
All right, so two Gunslingers. And we're now at 19.
Should look at some alternates for that.
We've got five more.
Is the Gunslinger a rare?
No, it's an uncommon.
I think it's a late set, though, isn't it? It's
Mercenaries.
Mercenaries. Never mercenaries. Mind. I'll stop talking.
But okay, so what we need, I think, with our last five cards is we need like the back line, like the four and the five costs, mediums and slows.
I'm a huge fan of the Grand Dragon at four cost with no buyout.
We already got the Grand Dragon.
Oh, we already got him.
Yeah.
There's not a lot in the medium speed bracket for five, at least not in the earlier sets. Do they have access to the Daikyu, or is that too late? I think that's Mech Warrior.
We're allowing Mech Warrior. The Daikyu's totally Daikyu's a six cost. But it's definitely solid.
Yeah, there's not much in the five slot that's really great at the medium speed racket. If you go down to the slow, there's a couple options. You can try
like the Galloglass.
Galloglass, yeah, it's slow. That's my only real.
Let's like throw
you have, you have to attack with it.
It's fantastic as an attacking mech, especially if we can put. Are we going to be able to put in some redline pilots? I'm just throwing that out there, but I like redline pilots. Because if we're thinking the amount of overheat that we have available to us in this deck, I mean, if you just check your mechs with overheat so far, Travis, how many mechs with overheat do we have?
We've got the Grand Dragons. We've got the Jenners. We've got the Mauler, Solo Mauler. And we've got the Galloglass that we're talking about. The ones that don't, we've got the Daikyus, but they can go.
I'd say Hatamoto Cheese over the Daikyu then, and let's get some overheat pilots on there.
Okay. Hatamoto Chi.
So do we want Deep Lake too? We got the Jenners. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Deep Lake it is.
All right. So
do we get mapped lakes or are we just that's probably
we're at 23.
Too much.
So I don't think we get to play maps.
So we're at 23 mix. We've got in the cheap slots, we've got eight Jenners and four Centurions. In the mid slots, we've got two Hatamoto Chis and four Grand Dragons and two Galloglasses and the Mauler. And in the heavy X slot, we have two Gunslingers. One more mech.
And what are those two Jenners, Michael? Just for people.
Jenner 7D and the Jenner 7K. Both of them are 1/2/2 fasts for two. One of them is an overheat 1+1. The other has an overheat 2+2. So what else do you want to throw in there?
Do we want to go out on a limb and do something crazy like a Naginata or something, which is like it's got overheat but it's a missile boat?
It's got C3, which you're paying for and you're getting nothing.
Yeah, it's wasted.
Oh, I don't like that.
A Falcon Hawk if we want to go down the cheap end.
You can run 23 mechs too, depending on how many missions and commands you have.
That's true. It's not a bad thing to have 23 mechs when we're thinking about the number of overheat pilots we're going to have.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's deal with that and come back to it later. All right. So, not units. So you want 4 red line pilots. Obviously.
Now the question is, we're allowing Solaris contacts? I don't think it's too bad with red lines.
I think it's too bad. Yeah. With the red lines, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's put 2 Solaris contacts in there.
But do you count that under the resource quantities or under the non-resource?
This is Curita, guys. I don't think Curita hangs out on Solaris very often.
Sure they do.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
They're anti-game on the far side of the inner sphere. What's the problem? I mean, the deck, so I don't know what you know. Solaris context is more or less what makes pilot decks tick.
Because of the deployment cost, right? The deployment cost of command cards is a pain in the ass.
Yep. You have to have a way to get a command card on a mech without paying a deployment cost, one of your 2 that are so essential, and 2, paying the cost of a pilot that, in my favorite pilot's cost, is 6, where you can get an amazing mech for that equivalent, but you get a mech for free.
Because you've got to remember, for folks who are beginners, you've got to think about the opportunity cost. It's not just that pilot card could be a mech. It's also that pilot card will die when the mech it's on is destroyed. Right. And so wherever you put the pilot, that mech is going to get targeted and you're going to lose 2 cards at the same time. And so you generally have only 3 options. Your first option is to put a pilot on a mech that is never going to get into a real fight. And this is like Dasher D, Elite Mech Warrior. Anytime that you're putting a pilot on a fast mech and you're thinking, this fast mech is never going to get in a fight, I'm never going to let it. Right. So that's one approach. Your second approach is to put a pilot on a very heavy mech, which is to say, yes, it takes a lot of effort to kill this guy, so I don't feel too bad about putting an enhancement on him. And this works especially well if you have cards like Heavy Fog, because you can say, oh, you put in all this effort to kill this guy, but actually I kept him alive, and now I'm going to move him from my crippled gunslinger to my non-crippled Grand Dragon, for example. And your third option is to make pilot play sufficiently cheap that you're not particularly concerned that your opponent could kill him in a 2-for.
All right. So we got
a medevac team. Is medevac team available to us?
It's a rare.
We can bring those pilots back?
I would assume probably not. Let's just use black market connections for that.
Let's just black market connections to bring them back.
Travis, to make this simple, no Solaris contacts and lore-wise isn't so... doesn't make a ton of sense with Curita, but if you don't run it, the entire pilot theme has to be scrapped and we got to start again.
Got it.
Yeah. Right.
Your call.
Yeah, we'll put in 2 Solaris contacts and a couple of war funds. It should be fine. Cool. So we are still at.
We'll call it your Yakuza contacts. We'll just draw it out on the card, right?
Yakuza. What about missions?
You know, you wanted custom cards, so that's a good one to do right there, because all you're really doing is reflavoring it.
Yep, exactly. Perfect.
What about some missions? We've already got the red line.
Sacrifice
pilots
for the dragon.
Really?
Yes, really. Really. If we're going to go theme, really.
All right. Well, it is a rare, but it's not that hard to find because it's in limited, unlimited, and commander's editions. Let's put in 1 sacrifice for the dragon.
How about a singleton reassigned pilot?
That's going to save a dude, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can move them into combat after they've already initiative's been declared and suddenly have an overheater with 2 extra damage and takes no damage.
No, it's not. Yeah, right. I see what you mean.
Damage.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, a singleton reassigned pause. That's 2. What other good supporting cards do we have?
We've got Deep Lake, right?
Let's throw in 2 Deep Lakes.
If I'm using pilots, I want ways to keep them alive. So taking the hit is very good.
Wait, why Deep Lake? Red Line Pilot already solves our problem.
Yeah, but you don't always have one.
You don't have it.
But if you got 4 Red Line Pilots...
You're still not always going to have it. This is the redundancy. We can't put 6 of everything in it, so we're putting 2 Deep Lakes and 2 Red Line Pilots.
I thought we were putting 4 Red Line Pilots and 2 Deep Lakes.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
All right, great. All right, so we're at 2 plus 4 plus 5. We're at 8, I think. We've got 4 more slots for interesting things. We got the 4 pilots, the 2 missions, and the 2 deep lakes. 2 more. No, 4 more.
We're not single combat, please?
Single combat, but... Well, I guess... Okay. 2 single combats? 1 single combat?
How about lured into bog?
A lured into bog, yeah. 1 lured into bog, 1 single combat.
How about an overwhelm?
How about a move to partial cover?
Overwhelm and a move to partial cover. Fine.
I think I'd rather, in a pilot deck, I'd rather have taken the hit than move to partial cover. Especially with an issue. I mean, either one keeps the pilot alive, but, you know, preventing all the damage to the mech is usually beneficial because you don't always have a ton of overheaters to swap the red line to.
That's true.
Let's drop the overwhelm then and put in the taking the hit.
Yeah.
All right. So our non-mech stuff is 1 taking the hit, 1 move to partial cover, 1 sacrifice for the dragon, 1 reassigned pilot, 4 red line pilots, 1 single combat, 1 lured into bog, and 2 deep lakes. So that's 12. We still have one floater, because we're putting the 2 Solaris contacts in with the resources. So that leaves us with 1 floater that we could figure out something for later. So now resources. Oh, contract with Wolf's Dragoons.
Yeah, what are we even doing here? All along.
We should add a contract with Calhounds as well. Which means we have to drop 1 thing.
Drop the moves to partial cover because taking the hit is better for a pilot. All right, deck.
Great. So there we go.
Until I get to defend them, but yeah.
So for resources, 2 Solaris contacts, 2 war funds, 2 black market connections. This is just by the numbers. Then what? That leaves us with 18 cards.
So let's see, our baseline is Centurions, which are A, and Jenners, which are AM. So that's going to form the basis of most of what we do. Do we have anything in the 3-drop slot?
No, we don't.
Okay.
But we actually, our T use is relatively limited. The only mix that we have that take T are the 2 Gallo Glasses.
Plus the
missions.
We
could go light on, plus the missions. Yeah. We could go light on T.
Well, so if we don't pull a Solaris contacts, Redline Pilot does take tactics, doesn't it?
It does,
yes.
Yeah.
What about 7 assembly, 6 munitions, 5 tactics?
I might do 8-6-4.
Oh, wait a minute. We need some politics.
We have to have politics or you're playing a think tank, one or the other.
Right. What about
outreach mercenary training? Comstar.
What about outreach mercenary training if we're going to do it that way?
That's true, but I mean Comstar is a 1 cost that can give us whatever we want.
And outreach mercenary training gives us PT.
If you pull
well
it,
the
though,
L
right?
could be useful, but
we don't have anything needs L.
No, it'd just be for restocking late.
Yeah, which is a late gain, which is often what you do with your think tank anyway at late game, is you scrap it for logistics so you can get that 1 restock, giving you 1 extra health every turn.
All right, you reckon Comstar support?
Yes, sir.
So 2 Comstar supports.
Do we want to create a high command, or is that too late? Just for kicks and giggles.
It's too late.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have to have a Commander's Edition box open as well. That's hard.
Right. So that means we now have 16 to play with for... We're actually getting pretty close to the limit here, because only 16 0-cost resources in a deck isn't... Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd like to have 18.
To recap, we've got 2 war funds, 2 Solaris contacts, 2 Comstar supports, and 2 black market connections.
Can we go 1-1 on the Comstar support and the mercenary outreach?
I didn't. Yes, we can. That doesn't change the situation.
I think one of those should be a think tank. That should get us to 17.
All right. Is it the Comstar or the Outreach Mercenary Training?
I would probably keep the Comstar just because it's more versatile. What is Outreach?
PT.
Outreach gives us
how much structure does it have?
It's a 3-3, and the Comstar support is also a
3-3. So structure same. So let's think here. Is there any situation where we're going to get the L? Because I think that's – how many other sources of P do we have?
None.
So it's always going to be P, so there's really no reason to get the Comstar support then. Is that because you're never going to get an L because you always have to have P?
But we do only have two cards that eat P.
Right. They're expensive though, aren't they? They're like 5 and 6 buyouts.
Oh, you definitely want don't. Forget that. It's that you have to keep paying for them, and then if you don't,
you have to pay extra three, Peter, every time. Do you ever pay for your contracts, or do you just use them once enough?
No, yeah.
So here's the additional question: if we're gonna play contracts and we have two cards that provide P, we're gonna have to defend them. I think the think tanks are actually a better solution over the Comstar support and the outreach mercenary training because
they solve the cost of one and we get it forever.
Yes. Well, yes.
And not only that, it's 6 resources. There's a lot of 3 damage mechs, especially fast and clan. And I know in the decks we made specifically, there's at least 8 with the Fenris's.
Yeah, so we'll lose it. We'll lose them. So better to have the think tank.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So 2 think tanks, and now we've got 16 to cover A, M, and T. It's not fantastic. 6-5-5?
I like 7-5-4.
Where's 4? Tactics?
It's tactics. Because all we have to worry about is the Gallow Glass and the mission cards. Because we've got the Centurion that has to be bought out. We are not paying the assembly buyout on that.
Yeah, but you still got 8 more 2 drops that cost A and M. You only got 5 sources. It's rough. It's really rough.
What if we drop some missions, move the Solaris contacts into the other category, and add a couple of resources? Here's what we're playing in our other cards.
We'll flood. Because our low end is so high. Peter, we've got so much at that low end at the 2 drop as far as our curve goes that if we have any more resources, it's just going to be a flood city.
My top end is a gunslinger.
Just 2 of them, and the next thing below it is a 5 costs.
So this deck's looking to get to 5 resources and then stop and drop 2 a turn after that.
Ish.
Maybe about that much.
Yep.
Maybe more with the gunslingers, but.
Just throw it to the player. Dude, try it, see how it goes. This isn't perfect, but...
Yeah, well, you'd want 6 total for the Solaris contacts. I guess you are going to burn the 2 think tanks. That should be a consideration, too. They won't count.
They're not going to count. One's going to be politics, one's going to be logistics.
So maybe you won't flood. I don't know. It's something you really have to play to know.
Yeah.
How much are we going to free up if we drop those contracts, those mercenary contracts, just the flexibility?
We're going to free up all of our self-respect because contracts are terrible.
That's the theme.
Right.
Well, we kind of like walked from the theme of Smoke Jaguar. So I think we're talking more about an early Smoke Jaguar incursion over Battle of Luthien at this point.
It's fine.
Yeah, okay. We left Orbital Bombardment in there, didn't we?
And Leo Showers. We left Orbital Bombardment.
So if we leave those two in, we have to keep the contract with the Kellhound and the contract with Wolf Dragoon.
It's the balance of the bad.
That is the bad theme that's going.
Okay.
To be clear, none of these cards would ever show up in a mid-tier, let alone upper tier.
Hey, what's important is, are they going to have fun playing against each other?
Yes, they will. I think so. They will. I think they will.
So. Now, if they're balancing against each other, I have no idea, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make it so that it's a for sure thing that Karita wins, throw in 6 Saladins or 4 Saladins.
Yeah, well, we don't want to do that. Yeah. We want it to be a game. Yeah.
Because right, Saladins will make it so that it's going to be a 0 chance for the clan. Yeah. But we're not going
to
do that.
Starting points. Yeah, these are fun starting points, but you'd really have to test them to know if they're really balanced against each other.
We'll put the card list in the show notes.
I've got most of these cards. My girlfriend and I, we're going to go at it tonight. We're going to test it out.
All right.
What was the final AMT breakdown?
7A, 5M, and 4T.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. It probably should be 7-6-3, as ugly as that is.
We could do that. What takes T? The Solaris
Contacts? Well, our Solaris Contacts, our pilots, and our missions. And yeah, we could still scrap a think tank for T as well if it comes down to it.
If we get a war funds, we're not going to have a problem with getting the Solaris Contacts down. And we're trying not to pay for red line pilots anyway. So I'm not that worried about it.
I think your biggest problem, you have to hit AM on turn two.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you have two think tanks, two war funds. So there's, what was it, 8 assemblies. So 12 sources of A, assuming you're willing to burn the war funds or the think tank. Then 11 sources of M, again, assuming you're willing to burn the think tank or the war funds, which I'm not sure I would be willing to do.
I think 11 sources of A and 10 sources of
A. All right. Yeah. You guys aren't going to like this question. War funds are kind of tricky to find. If we have to drop war funds, what am I replacing with think tanks?
Yeah. Okay. No. I'd replace them with one Solaris Contact and one think tank.
Okay.
Or two Solaris Contacts.
War funds, look, here's the thing about war funds. The most powerful ability in any CCG is always deck search, right? Deck search, by definition, is the most important and dangerous thing that you can get. War funds is a huge spike in power over any other resource. It's always the right answer in every deck. I personally view that as a problem, even though everybody can access it.
Yeah. At a common slot, everybody should have six in a deck.
I wouldn't necessarily say six, but I would say at least three in every deck.
Any deck, the decks that we're building that have three or more resources, yes, I would say six.
So it's an issue. Like, the errata that I put in, I pointed to it in the show notes from the previous show, was, first of all, the idea that you could tap or, like, the scrap ability required a tap action as well, so that you couldn't tap for resources and then scrap it. And then the other thing that I put in there, this was, again, with help from Mark, the idea was that it can only grab resources that provide assets, which means no Solaris content. You can't grab Solaris Contacts with it. You can't grab black market connections with it. And I think that the combination of those two changes bring it back down to a sort of a rational power level. I'm curious for your thoughts.
It does. Absolutely. It's a huge nerf.
But you'd still play it in a deck.
Yeah. Right. But I wouldn't play six.
Right. It's that I have three assets and I want to make sure I get my assets. War funds solves that problem for me, but it doesn't also fetch
random. Solaris Contacts, so I can put Kai down on turn three.
Right. And it also doesn't allow you to, because the tap, it's tap or, it doesn't allow you to up your tempo. There's a really cool, the other Daishi deck that says use double overtime to get the Daishi B out on turn three and then use Omnimech Podcast to swap it for a Widowmaker and attack on turn three relies on using the ability of war funds to tap for a resource and then scrap itself to boots, to grab a field construction site and tap that and then scrap that.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
To bootstrap yourself, right? So the way that war funds affects your tempo is really significant. I still think it's a solid card, even with those nerfs, just not as dominant. Think tank becomes more practical to use. And anyone who's playing, black market connections or Solaris Contacts is having to think about, if I don't have enough of these cards, how will I be sure to get them? And if I have too many of them, how am I going to get rid of my excess? It becomes more competitive. Anyway, that's my little plug.
Got our two decks, so I'm gonna put them in the description below. Other people can try them out that are listening and see if we did a good job, or we can tweak them. People can comment with their tweaks, and we can kind of get two good thematic decks.
I think the I think the fun part of this was less about the outcome of what are the decks, but more about like what is the thought process of constructing.
Oh yeah, that's why I asked you. That's why I want to hear all you guys talk, and people can kind of hear why you're going back and forth between why I add this and take that. That's the value there.
Speaking of deck construction, one thing that I'd be really interested in is hearing Gustav and Peter deconstruct some tier one deck and explain why the bits are in it that are
why there. That is a good mech.
Or why a person did what they did. Like, why are these cards here?
All right, Michael, pick that deck, all right? This is going to be our last thing, all right? I think I know which one because we talked about this before.
I'm going to pick
the
Gorge Master. I want you guys to explain how the Gorge Master works and why it works, because the first time I saw this thing, I did not understand it, and it opened up doors in my mind to how you might build a deck that were completely closed before.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and sign off there and leave you with a little bit of teaser for the third part of this conversation that I had with the guys. It is a very good compliment to this episode. A lot of very high-level, in-depth discussion, kind of breaking down a World Championship-winning deck, and a World Championship-winning deck that was definitely thinking outside of the box for its time. And so definitely check that out. I'll kind of link it up here, and that'll pop up, or you can just kind of find it by surfing the channel. Enjoy and kind of learn what you can. In this episode, I will be putting down in the description deck list for what we came up as kind of the final versions of these after we did a little playtesting and made sure that they did provide a good thematic, kind of fun tabletop experience. Or you can play them on Lackey, you can play them on Tabletop Simulator, whatever it is. And for sure, to complement that, check the pinned comment down below. I'm going to outline the giveaway for this episode. We are going to be, I'm not quite sure of the final product, so we're definitely going to be giving away a Clansmoke Jaguar and a Curita with Allies deck as the kind of prize for that giveaway. Though, in order to kind of participate in that giveaway, there'll be a couple criteria, but kind of the most exciting is going to be inviting you guys to throw out your own kind of Smoke Jaguar and Curita themed decks to kind of mix it up. No restrictions in terms of rarity, no restrictions in terms of what deck, what expansion sets that we're drawing from. Throw out your best candidates for each of those sides, and then we'll kind of go through those comments and kind of pick the ones we like, and we'll use those for kind of the prize for that giveaway if they're better than what the guys here come up with kind of through their playtesting. So a lot of fun there. And if there's anybody out there that, you know, has a big collection and doesn't need those cards, then I'll kind of throw a pack of Crusade or something out there so you can enjoy kind of opening a nice kind of premiere sealed pack yourself, which is kind of hard to find these days since the product's 20 years out of production. But that's it. One final thing, I would encourage you guys, please check out the Patreon for this channel. I would love to kind of build up the support that, like, coming from that avenue to help cover some of the expenses for this channel, a lot of kind of hosting services and some of the kind of design software that I needed to pick up that I didn't necessarily have already for my other work. If the Patreon and the support through that, you know, people contributing a buck or two here or there every month, that would be awesome. That would really help me out and kind of support me and kind of continuing to deliver this content to you guys as this channel grows. And in the meantime, check out the other videos. A lot of stuff about the TCG, a little bit of stuff already kind of outside the TCG, and definitely with a lot of kind of shows in production that will be kind of continuing, just either sitting down with developers or kind of the writers, the authors of BattleTech. I'm going to try to connect with some of the artists of BattleTech too to talk about their experiences. So a lot of awesome ideas for future content for Renegade HBG. So your support will definitely help make that happen. And in the meantime, you know, be sure you're commenting down below, interacting. I love to hear back from you guys and get kind of all those different kind of stories about your own experience in the game. But that's it. This is Travis signing off, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Bye.